Chapter 10. Finding the Time to Improve Your Life. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. Ann Dillard. I have no doubt you have said to yourself that you just don't have the time to make things better in your life. We've all felt that feeling of overload, when we believe that we have much more than we can handle at the moment. Even if you don't feel you have time, I want you to finish reading this chapter because I'm going to show you how to make more time for yourself so you don't miss out on the real estate opportunities I describe in Part 3. The last thing I want is for you to get all excited about investing in real estate only to do nothing because you don't have time or don't believe you have time. We all have 24 hours in a day, yet some people seem to squeeze more productivity and happiness in a day than others. How do they do it? This chapter shows you how. I want you to realize that with a few tweaks, you can find the time to build wealth and financial security. After that happens, time will never be an issue in your life again. So use that as your motive to find enough time now so you can have a lifetime of it in the future. The 24-hour time trap. If you're happy with the way your life is going right now, you can keep your life exactly the same by not changing a thing. However, if you're not happy with the way your life is going, you need to take time to change and do something different. Many people want to change and even make plans to do so, but they never follow their plans because they never find the time. If you want to change your life, you're going to have to set aside time to change. And that means eliminating something in your life. You don't have to eliminate anything you enjoy. Simply eliminate the things in your life that you don't enjoy and that don't help move you towards your dream. We all have 24 hours each day, no matter who we are, how much money we have, or where we live. How you manage your time determines the quality of your life. If you're like most people, you may feel you have a ton of things to do and not enough time to do them. That's a normal feeling, but it's also wrong. Let me show you three ways you can squeeze more time out of each day. First, let's look at three ways most people spend their time. Unavoidable tasks, such as sleeping, eating, commuting, and working. Nuisance tasks, such as mowing the lawn, cleaning the house, and visiting with unpleasant relatives. Leisure tasks, such as reading, watching TV, and spending time with friends and family. Unavoidable tasks are those that you absolutely must do, such as working 8 hours in a day in a job, or sleeping a certain number of hours each night. You can't eliminate unavoidable tasks, but you can minimize their effect on your life. For example, most people have to work 8 hours a day and also commute to work, which can often add another hour or two, for a total of up to 10 hours a day. Given this time restriction, what can you do? You may have a fixed 8-hour time period that you absolutely must be at work, but can you shorten your commute? Arrive at work earlier and avoid the morning rush hour, or leave work later and avoid the afternoon rush hour. Either way can shorten your commute and thus save you time. Now, here's the trick. If you arrive early or stay later, use that spare time to read about or study real estate. You can't eliminate unavoidable tasks, but you can rearrange them so you don't waste any more time doing them than necessary. How about your lunch hour? Could you find a way to make real estate calls, research properties, read and learn more, or call realtors? I had a student who once told me how much he loved everything about real estate investing, but he had no time to get started. Something as simple as adjusting his lunch break changed his life forever. By not taking a coffee break in the morning, he got an hour and a half for lunch. Each day, he had been going to lunch with a group of guys who did nothing but complain how the company was unorganized or how their boss didn't know what he was doing. I suggested that he break away from this group, bring his own lunch, and find a comfortable place such as a coffee shop or park. If he ate his lunch in 15 minutes, he could spend an hour and 15 minutes each day working on his goals and dreams. He could read about new strategies, contact agents, make appointments, create new relationships with mortgage brokers, call on homes for sale, or just browse through the classified ads looking for properties to buy. With the cell phone or laptop computer, he could work anywhere. Typically, the lack of time isn't a problem. Rather, it's organizing your time. This gentleman found the time he needed and is on his way to financial freedom. And it all started with a lunch break. He had time. He just wasn't using it properly. To take it one step further, he realized that he had a lot more time in his life once he adjusted his way of thinking towards doing something productive that would better his life. After you get creative in managing your time with unavoidable tasks, it's time to look at nuisance tasks, which you can often eliminate. Hate mowing the lawn? Hire the neighborhood kid to do it. You get the job done and you get extra time to work on something more productive. Ask yourself what your time is worth. If it costs you $35 to get your lawn mowed and it saves you 2 hours a week, what could that time be worth if you could buy and sell your first home for thousands of dollars in profit? Whenever I see someone spending countless hours on tasks that could be done by someone else for very little money, I think of the phrase, "Don't step over quarters to get to the nickels." You are valuable, and you were valuable before reading this book. Now, add the knowledge to make money with real estate and know that you are worth a fortune each and every hour. So try to spend some time seeing whether certain tasks are eating up time that you could be spending on changing your future. You may not be able to pay someone else to do a nuisance task, but you may be able to do creative bartering. Maybe your kids, your spouse, a relative, or a friend can help eliminate some of your nuisance tasks, and in return, you could make them a small partner on future deals. Find something of value you can offer. I once had a neighbor who mowed my lawn each week, and in return, I let him put his garbage in my container each week. I was already paying for the dumpster, and his garbage was minimal, so it didn't cost me a penny more. He gained by not paying for garbage removal, and I didn't have to mow my lawn. Think outside the box, be creative, and find that time. You need it to reach your goals. Finally, there are leisure tasks. You may enjoy fishing, watching TV, or lying on the beach, but you have a choice. Can you reduce the amount of time you spend on leisure activities so you can spend more time on tasks that could change your life, such as studying real estate investing? I bet you could. I'm not asking you to eliminate everything you enjoy doing. Just reduce some of the time you spend on leisure activities now and devote that spare time towards pursuing your dreams. This will lead to the opportunity to have a lot more leisure time in the future. So you see, you can carve more time for yourself in two basic ways. Sacrifice time from something else. Rearrange activities to free up larger blocks of time. Sacrificing time means you stop doing one activity to make room for something new. This is easier than it sounds, although you may feel you have no activities you can replace with something new. For that reason, more people are likely to find rearranging their activities more appealing. When you rearrange your activities, you free up time by either grouping similar activities together or by doing the same activities but at a different time to avoid the crowd. Grouping activities can save you time by eliminating wasted trips. For example, rather than drive to the supermarket and come home, then drive to the video store later that same day, and then drive home, you do both tasks at the same time. This is only one example of many things that can chip away at your schedule, freeing up time for you and your dreams. The difference between people with plenty of time and those with no time isn't the amount of activities they do during the day. The difference is how they plan their day. If you plan your day and follow your plan, you'll be much more organized than someone who simply reacts to every distraction and winds up feeling exhausted without getting anything done. Where does your time go? Before you can plan your day, you need to know how you're currently spending your time. I know planning and tracking your time might seem to take even more time away from your day, but you can't use your time more efficiently if you don't know where it's going in the first place. Time is money, so you need to watch your time as carefully as you watch your money. People who don't watch their money tend to spend too much and wind up poor. Likewise, people who don't watch their time tend to waste their time and get nothing done. For 1 week, carry a notepad with you and keep track of when you start and stop something. For example, if you start driving to work at 8 o'clock and arrive at work at 8:30, write that down. Don't worry about being too exact, such as arriving at 8:32. You want an approximate idea of how you are spending your time. Some tasks, such as driving to work, are straightforward. Other tasks may not have a definite beginning and end. For example, you may spend the first hour at work making phone calls, but halfway through returning phone calls, you stop and chat with coworkers about the morning news or last night's TV shows. Stop. You've just started another task, so write down the time you started and stopped returning phone calls, and now write down the time you started chatting with your coworkers. Is this a nuisance? You bet. But that's the point. By forcing yourself to track the time you start and stop another task, you're forcing yourself to be aware of how you really spend your time. You may have thought you always spent 2 hours making phone calls, but you are actually spending 30 minutes making phone calls, 20 minutes socializing with your coworkers, another 10 minutes making phone calls, and then another 60 minutes browsing the internet for the latest news or sports scores. Once you know how you're actually spending your time, you'll have a much better idea why you feel like you never have enough time. You will get different results if you make 20 minutes of phone calls compared to 60 minutes of phone calls. Now you have a choice. You can either accept getting 20 minutes worth of results, or you can spend less time socializing and browsing the internet and more time making phone calls. And you'll no longer fool yourself into thinking you're putting in 60 minutes of work, but only getting 20 minutes of results. Now, take the time to track your non-work activities. Do you stop by the local bar for happy hour? What do you do with your weekends? Do you sleep in even though you really feel your best with 7 or 8 hours of sleep rather than 10? Do you have friends you spend time with who are enjoyable but often unproductive? Why not have fun with them while you bounce reinforcing positive ideas off of each other? Or maybe get them interested in real estate. By tracking your time, you can see how much time you're putting towards your important tasks and how much time you're wasting throughout the day. Plan your time. When you need to do something important, such as see the doctor or get your car fixed, you probably make an appointment. Appointments are nothing more than fixed times during the day when you plan to do something for that entire length of time. Although people make appointments to see a doctor or a car mechanic, they rarely make appointments with themselves to perform important tasks. Not only are most people unaware of how they really spend their time, but they also fail to plan their time. They may set aside time to work or study, but if someone calls or drops by to chat, most people stop whatever they're doing and allow themselves to be distracted. Yet, when people make a doctor's appointment, they don't allow a phone call or a friend to keep them from going to their appointment. They make sure they get to their appointment and they push all distractions aside. That's how you need to treat your planned activities. Planning your schedule means more than just blocking out time for certain activities. To plan your day successfully, you need to plan your day around activities that are most important to your life right now. Because you're reading this book, let's assume your goal is to learn more about real estate investing. I know understanding different real estate strategies can seem complicated at first. So set aside a small chunk of time, say around 10 to 20 minutes a day, to identify the different factors that can affect the real estate cycle in your area. After you've identified your goal, you need to identify an activity you can do every day, or at least on a regular basis, that can bring you one step closer to achieving your goal. Maybe this means talking to at least one real estate agent or property seller a day. Maybe it's talking to a loan officer to see what type of loan you can get. Each day you might have a different activity, but if all your activities support a single goal, every day you'll inch your way closer and closer until one day you'll achieve your goal. Reaching your goal may take you weeks, months, or even years, but I'd rather you reach your goal however long it takes rather than you have to go through another year or two with nothing changing in your life, leaving you wondering where all the time went and why nothing ever seems to get done. While running my businesses and writing this book, I have 10 property deals in the works in New York and Phoenix, so I fly back and forth at least once a month. I'm finishing a TV infomercial for my new real estate course at www.thinkalittledifferent.com. I'm working on a few new websites and a new real estate mentoring course for people who want a personal real estate mentor. I also have everyday life issues, and I will be a first-time dad by the time you read this. I don't say that to brag, look how great I am. Instead, I share that with you because without time management, I could not do all those things. You know the old saying, if you want something done, ask the busiest person you know? I think that is really saying, if you want something done, ask the person with the best time management skills, and it will get scheduled and done. Manage your time. After you've identified where your time goes and scheduled activities each day that will help you reach your goals, the final step is to manage your time. Taking the time to plan your daily schedule is useless if you don't follow it. Too often, it's easy to get distracted by interruptions such as phone calls, unexpected visitors, or sudden crises at work. If you allow anything to interrupt you from your schedule, chances are good you'll never get anything done. Generally, people waste time for three reasons. They don't know what to do. They're avoiding doing something else. They schedule their time poorly by emphasizing the trivial over the productive. If you don't know what to do, what are the odds you're going to do the right thing? Probably zero, which is why it's so important to identify your goals and then plan each day to move one step closer to them. If you're wasting time to avoid doing something important, guess what? Avoiding any problem simply prolongs the agony of worrying about it. If you had a sore tooth, would you rather have it yanked out right away or suffer in pain for weeks and then have it yanked out? Surprisingly, many people will procrastinate, choosing the latter option and suffering for weeks before having their tooth yanked out anyway. Procrastination seems to work because it provides immediate gratification, but it delays your goals even more in the long run. Procrastination pushes your future further and further away. Finally, you may understand the importance of scheduling your time and you may actually do it, but if you don't plan your schedule properly and then stick to your schedule, you might as well not have done it at all. If you don't make time for your dreams, you'll never have time to reach them. It's as simple as that. So when you schedule your day, first, schedule time for your most important goals, however much you can squeeze in each day, and then schedule the tasks you absolutely must do, such as sleeping and driving to work. By creatively rearranging your must-do tasks, you can often open up extra time so you can pursue your real dream. Don't forget to schedule in some leisure time. You don't want to work 24 hours a day and deprive yourself from enjoying life. Just make sure that your leisure time doesn't crowd out your important goals for each day, and you'll be fine. Tips for guarding your time. If time is money, would you leave your wallet open so anyone can drop by and yank out a few $20 bills? I doubt it, but that's exactly how people treat their time. They may have the best intentions of scheduling their time and following their schedule, but the phone suddenly rings and they wind up talking to a friend only to let another 20 minutes slip away. From now on, I want you to guard your time the same way you would guard your wallet. Every time a coworker drops by just to chat, or you see an interesting story on the internet that you want to read, think of a taxicab meter, slowly ticking away the dollars you're losing each second. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing bringing me closer to my goals, or taking me further away from my goals? Tame the telephone. You may have heard of Dr. Ivan Pavlov. He was a Russian scientist who discovered that if he rang a bell while feeding his dogs, the dogs would associate the ringing bell with food and start salivating. Then Dr. Pavlov took away the food, rang the bell, and the dogs salivated even though there wasn't any food. Dr. Pavlov conditioned his dogs to salivate whenever they heard the ringing of a bell. As silly as this sounds, human beings train themselves to react the same way whenever they hear the ringing of a telephone. Just because someone calls doesn't mean you have to drop what you're doing and answer the phone. That's why we have answering machines and voicemail. Too many people start working on an important project and stop every time they hear their telephone ring. When you act like that, you're no better than Pavlov's dog, salivating at the sound of a bell. Here's what you can do to tame the telephone. Don't answer it. Then set aside a block of time to receive and return phone calls at your convenience. By doing this, you're putting the telephone back in your control and not at the convenience of another person. A cell phone can be an even greater tool or a major annoyance depending on how you use it. First, nobody should have your cell phone number unless it's somebody you want to talk to. Second, treat calls on your cell phone the same way. Don't answer them except at your convenience. A cell phone can be your biggest asset because you can make real estate calls from anywhere at any time, but use this tool as a time saver, not a time killer. If you need to talk to someone, treat your time on the phone like any other part of your schedule. Make an appointment to talk to someone when it's convenient for both of you. After you schedule a time to talk, schedule a time limit so both you and the other person know how much time they have to talk. Without a time limit on phone calls, a 5-minute phone call can stretch into 20 minutes or more. One of the biggest time wasters is playing telephone tag, where you keep calling someone else and never reach them, and they keep trying to call you and never reach you either. You can solve this problem in two ways. When you make a call, leave your name, phone number, a time you can be reached, such as during the time you schedule to return phone calls, and why you're calling. If you're returning a phone call, ask the other person to tell you why they're calling. Once you know why someone else is calling, you can often stop playing telephone tag and just do whatever needs to be done. Another way to eliminate telephone tag is to eliminate the telephone altogether. Rather than make a phone call, use email or the fax machine. By writing down your communication, the other person can read what you want at their convenience. Then they can respond using email or the fax machine too. Delegate and replace yourself. I once read a story about a Fortune 500 CEO who cleaned the restrooms every night because he felt it was important to show he wasn't any better than the average worker. Although this might sound noble, it's an incredible waste of time. If you are paying a CEO millions of dollars to run your company, would you want him or her wasting time cleaning restrooms when you could hire a janitor to do that same job for $10 an hour? If your time is valuable, it's worth paying someone to do the trivial tasks so you can do the important ones. Too many people fill their days performing trivial tasks and then don't have any time left to pursue their dreams. Patching your own roof or building a backyard patio yourself might save you money on construction and labor costs, but you could actually be losing money if those tasks take away from the time you could be using to make more money. Deal with information overload. Everyone's drowning in information. You can spend every day reading journals and magazines just in your field and never keep up. So what's the answer? Don't even try. I'm not saying don't keep up in your field. I'm saying don't let it overwhelm you. You can't read and know everything, so it's important to choose what's important and what isn't. The next time you pick up a magazine, newspaper, or book, read the parts that interest you and throw the rest away. You'll get through more books and magazines this way, and you won't waste time on parts that you don't care about. Oftentimes, you may read something that you'll want to save. Don't throw it in a pile that you'll never be able to find again. Organize your information. Get some plastic containers, label each one, and dump your newspaper, magazine, or book pages in those plastic containers. If the information is really important, you'll be able to find it again by browsing through the right plastic container. If the information isn't that important, you'll forget about it. At the end of the month or the year, dump that plastic container in the trash and start all over again. The idea is to be ruthless with information. If the information can't help you right away, ignore it. If it might help you sometime in the future, save it and then decide whether you can throw it away. The key is not to let information overwhelm you, but to control the flood of information down to a trickle. Rather than waste time and money buying newspapers or magazines, you can often find the same information on the internet. Then you can save the information as a file on your hard disk, and it won't take up any physical space at all. Remember, if you feel overwhelmed by information overload, take control of your life and filter out the information that reaches you. Many people like the idea of touching a piece of paper only once, then they decide to keep it or throw it away. Don't be afraid to throw things away. The less clutter in your life, the more freedom you'll have. So be ruthless and throw away everything you can. use the internet sparingly. Like cell phones, the internet can be a great convenience or an incredible nuisance. It's tempting to browse the internet and look at the latest news and sports scores, then the entertainment gossip columns, and suddenly an hour's gone by, and you've accomplished nothing except learning what the New York Yankees and Britney Spears did this past weekend. Use the internet as a tool to help you find information, and ignore all the irrelevant news that won't help you in your goals. I know browsing the internet can be fun, but make sure it doesn't distract you from what you need to do right now. Perhaps one of the greatest advantages of the internet is email. But like telephone calls, email can be a time saver or a time waster. First, schedule time to read and respond to email. You don't need to check your email every 5 minutes. Second, when writing email, be clear about what you want. If you need to ask questions, make sure the person knows exactly what your questions are. If you bury your questions within paragraphs, chances are good that the other person will answer only one or two of them. But if you make it clear which questions you want answered, you'll often get a reply within one email. Here's a sample format you can use when asking questions by email. Start with a polite and quick introduction, such as the following. Hello. In regards to the X project, can you answer these questions so we can keep things moving forward? Question number one. Question number two. Question number three. I look forward to your response. Thanks in advance for getting back to me in a timely manner. When you lay out your questions in a list that's easy to see, you increase the chance that the other person will answer all your questions. When you write email messages, make sure you use proper grammar. I know people like using acronyms and symbols when writing an email, but keep those to a minimum. Finally, get separate work and personal email accounts. That way, when you browse through your email, you're not distracted by answering work-related email and personal email at the same time. Remember, any form of communication can be a time saver if it stays under your control. The minute you let it control you, you've lost control of your time. Increase your discipline. Go to any store that caters to business executives, and you'll find dozens of time planners, contact organizers, and efficiency tools in both paper and computer format. In case you're wondering which of these systems is best, I'll answer that question for you. All of them, but they'll only work as well as you do. Nobody's going to manage your time for you. Actually, everyone is more than happy to manage your time for you, but it's rarely going to be what you want. If you want to manage your time, you have to start by learning to say no to unexpected phone calls, unwanted visitors, and unnecessary distractions, such as newspapers and the internet. After you develop the self-discipline to plan, schedule, and manage your time, any system will work for you, whether it's a $100 program on your computer or a $1 pack of index cards you carry in your pocket. A well-known consultant once approached the millionaire Charles Schwab and offered him the most valuable productivity tip he knew. If Charles Schwab didn't think the tip was useful, he could keep the tip and pay the consultant nothing. If he thought the tip was useful, he would pay the consultant $25,000. The consultant gave Charles Schwab the tip, and a week later, Charles Schwab wrote the man a check for $25,000. Here was the tip that Charles Schwab thought was worth $25,000. Make a list of the 10 most important tasks you need to accomplish every day. Then, do them. Every day, schedule time to reach for your goals. Every amount of progress, no matter how small, will bring you one step closer to your goal. Simply set aside the time and then do it. Conclusion. You can turn time into money by using your time wisely on productive tasks that will take you one step closer to your goals. No matter how busy you may be, I urge you to set aside some time every day to work towards achieving your dreams. All it takes is consistent and persistent effort. The closer you get to your goals, the more time you'll want to devote towards reaching them. It's time to turn your dreams into reality, so take the time now to put your dreams into action.